This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at in the U.S. or somewhere around the world. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Outside the Box, the show that loves to interview baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge of status quo, folks. We love having special guests on all the time. Welcome back, and special thank you to ESPN Honolulu. Thanks for listening, everybody. And don't forget, we're live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. And do us one favor before we start the show. That is, go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo, also Facebook, subscribe, and then you get all the free updates and the new shows. It's all about baseball development. We want to bring it to you, whether you're a parent, player, or coach. We're here to help you any way we can, and we're constantly learning. One of the reasons I started a podcast, not only to let coaches and players and parents learn all over the world about the game and how to work on the development aspect of it, but also I get knowledge every day by listening to some great guests. And today, let me tell you, talk about going back in history. He's going to make me feel a lot older, because the first time I met this young man, forget his skills, great skills. Everybody knew that, but what a personality, what a person. His parents brought him up first class, taught him a lot of great things. His parents are awesome people. First of all, I want to say, rest in peace, Mr. Paul. His dad passed away when he was 58 years old. And I want to dedicate this show to him, because he was a great man, and didn't know about it, and I apologize. But man, what a great person. So folks, let me tell you, we have, at 12 years old, he played on the Pan Am team. I talked about the teams before. And not only did he play as a Pan Am player at 12 years old, he hit a home run to beat Brazil, a big home run. Then he went on, and he was at Slidell High School in Louisiana, but he went on, got drafted by the Dodgers in the fourth round, went to the big leagues with the Dodgers, the Pirates, the Reds, the Diamondbacks, now coaching. Well, matter of fact, he also played in Mexico in the winter and summer league. Also, get this, which is fantastic, he went on to play with the 16U national team, USA Baseball national team, twice to win the gold. And then now he is doing something special. He's given his time. He's coaching baseball at the collegiate level, the new Appalachian League started by USA Baseball and Major League Baseball. Hey, let's not waste any time. Let's welcome Xavier Paul Jr. to the show. What's up, man? How you doing, Xavier?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me, Pete. I really appreciate it. Excited to be on your show.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, you know, I know we're talking off the air, but folks, you know, first time I met Xavier, I mentioned 12 years old, you know, the next time I met him, he was with the Reds playing in the big leagues, went to Wrigley and got a chance to say hi to him. If you know me, folks, I don't like to bother a lot of the players that played for us that were in the big leagues. They got enough things to worry about, and they got family and a lot of other friends. I think it's important they focus on those things, but I love connecting with them afterwards. And man, all these years, Xavier, let me tell you something. You've done some great things in the game, but things that seem to just start for you right now because you're jumping into coaching. Isn't that great?
Yes, it is. I'm excited about the opportunity here with the in the Appalachian League. I think this is a very, very good experience for young college players. You know, it's going to aid in their development. And they're going to be playing against some really good competition from different colleges around the country. And so far, I've enjoyed doing it, coming out here every day and coaching baseball.
You know what? I'm going to get into the Pan Am team at 12 years old and kind of work our way up a little bit. But since we're on the coaching aspect, let's talk about that, because, you know, here you are, you know, you played high school baseball. You didn't play collegiately, but then you went to the big leagues. And now you're coaching. What's that like, your first time actually coaching collegiate players? What was that first, you know, week or two like for you?
So far, it's been a learning experience for me. and an enjoyment. I've had a sense of enjoyment at the same time because I'm back in the game of baseball, on the coaching side, which is a blessing to me. And a lot of these kids, you know, they're smart kids. They're very enthusiastic when they the way they go about approaching a game of baseball, and they approach the game with a sense of integrity. They play the game in a respectful way, the way that I was raised to play the game. And you know, I've enjoyed watching them. I've enjoyed learning from them, and it's my first taste of college baseball as a coach or a player. So, you know, I'm excited about learning more about from them. Probably just as excited as they are about learning from me.
Absolutely. And plus, you know, learning from somebody that's been at many levels. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of experience there. I think you can really help them a lot. What about, you know, what are some responsibilities now? You know, your manager, I believe, and you can mention the manager, but also what are some responsibilities you have as a coach there?
Well, for I'm mostly my role, my title is the player development coach.
Good.
I do a little bit of everything as far as I help with the fielding with the outfielders, base running. You know, I know a little bit about pitching. My last year in professional baseball with the Texas Rangers organization. I was a two-way player, outfielder and pitcher at the rookie ball level. So I help in a few different areas, multiple areas, the game of baseball here with the college players. And so there's really no one area where I really concentrate on. I kind of just share wisdom and knowledge from numerous different aspects.
What's that schedule look like? Are you guys training right now and then there's going to be games, or is it a combination of both throughout the whole time?
We play every day of the week. We have Mondays off for the most of our Mondays are off days. Today was an off day. We play 6 days out the week of some really good baseball. Like I said, some very good competition. It's similar to what I did as a player coming up through minor league and major league baseball. It's just a different level of play. And so I've adapted pretty well to it, to the experience, and I'm very grateful for it.
Hey, you know, Xavier, when we talk about development, it's a key word. It's important because, you know, on the show, we talk about this a lot. And that is, you know, our goal, and I think coaching, the role of coaches is to try to make sure that players play the game long term. Not, you know, they don't quit at the age of 13 because of whatever reasons, because if they really love the game, they're going to keep playing it. You know, I mean, sometimes people use excuses and say, well, they want to do something else. Well, they want to do something else. We've all been kids because they don't like they don't like baseball as much. So when we talk about long-term development, we talk about development here. When you look at these players, these are top players. These are really good athletes. What are some of the things that you're seeing, even though they're pretty good players, from a development standpoint, what are some of the things you're seeing that obviously they need to get better at, and how can they get better at those areas?
For me, I focus on the hitters. And I'll answer that question with a focus on hitting.
Yep.
To give you an example. So a league like this, a collegiate league like this, I think it's as far as the player development side of it, it's a good tool to use for hitters that are preparing to possibly play at the rookie level in minor league baseball possibly next year or the year after that. This is a good collegiate league that they've put together. They're going to face some good pitching where they can work to develop a consistency with their approach to hitting. You know, plate discipline. Learn their strengths, their weaknesses at the plate. What pitch should they be swinging at early in the count? You know, what pitch should they be laying off of? So I think that's a simple way of putting it. It's going to help them develop a consistent approach at a level of play that's going to aid in the increase of their enhancing their performance and preparing them to be better players at the minor or major league level.
You know, what would you say, you know, because you play in the big leagues, and I think this would be an interesting question because it's come up a lot on television. You know, pitchers nowadays are throwing a lot harder. You know, the bullpen guys are coming out 98, 99 consistently. You're seeing players possibly not really go with the pitch all the time. You know, they have certain ideas where they want to pull the ball a little bit more. That's why the shift happens. When you were a player, were you looking location and trying to hit where the ball was pitched, or were you hitting certain areas only?
As a player, as a hitter, my approach to hitting was use the whole field. You know, I was really aggressive to the fastball because I was a very good fastball hitter. So my approach from pitch number one was I'm going up to the plate. I'm looking for a fastball that I can drive into left center, right center field gap. And I would adjust to the off speed off of that approach to hitting. And, you know, it's I never walked into the batter's box with a feeling of taking away from my aggressiveness as a hitter. I'm not going up there looking for the pitcher's pitch. I'm going up there looking for my pitch. And, you know, that mindset will help hitters develop the type of consistency that they need to perform at, you know, the minor league or major league level. But one thing they'll learn in this league is you may experience a little bit of failure. But that doesn't mean, hey, I have to change everything. You know, stick with your approach. And the game of baseball statistically proven that if you get on base 3 out of 10 times, you're a good player, a good hitter. 3 hits out of 10 at bats, you're a 300 hitter. Your on-base percentage is up, you know, with one walk. You get 3 hits, 1 walk, you're a 300 hitter, and you have a 400 on base percentage. So the mental approach to the game of baseball is very important. And the Appalachian League, the consistent level of good baseball, the consistency of good baseball, I think a lot of these college players are going to find that here.
Great stuff. Are you taking that approach that you're talking about into most of the players that you're coaching? Or is that adjusted according to the player? Because it might be a home run hitter, more power, or a guy has more speed. You know, because what we're seeing is, and I guess I'm hoping that the game's going to be more played the way it used to be and not the way it's going in some ways. Does that make any sense there?
Well, you know, it's each individual player, they're going to share a different strength. Mm. They're going to have different weaknesses as hitters. You know, pitchers, they're going to, you know, some of them, their sliders better than their curveball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most of the time they're going to use their slider as their out pitch versus their curveball. So It's I don't really use the same. I don't tell every hitter to go up there with the looking for the same pitch, same location, because like I said, each one of them have different strengths as a hitter. Mm-hmm. So, but as far as the way they approach the game of baseball and the intensity levels that they play it at, you know, I tell each and every one of them, you know, hit a ball in the ground, run 100% down the line, you know, put some pressure on the defense, sure. hit a ball in a gap. I'm looking for third base right away because I know it's an easy double.
Yeah.
You know, so that from that sense, I tell all of them to approach that part of the game the same way. And so far, all of these kids have done, you know, they've been great with that. I know they're some of them are looking for schools. Some of them are being scouted by pro scouts. Mm-hmm. So, and they've been doing a good job using this league as a tool to get them where they're trying to go.
How did, when you took BP, whether it be in the minors or in the big leagues, to prepare for a game, what did batting practice look like when you took it? How did you prepare yourself for the game during batting practice?
Batting practice, I approached it pretty much the same way as I did when live play started. You know, I would use the whole field in batting practice. I'd start my first couple rounds spraying the ball to the opposite field. Once I got warmed up, got pretty loose, you know, I'd try to pull a couple balls here and there. But, you know, I always finish my rounds gap to gap, you know, and most of the greatest hitters that have ever played a game of baseball, they said using the whole field and trying to be effective from line to line was made them complete hitters.
Yeah.
So I took that knowledge and applied it to my game as a hitter. And I wasn't the best hitter. I was a career 250 hitter, but you know, I was almost a 300 career minor league hitter. So at the AAA level. So, you know, I had some pretty good success with my approach.
Well, but what's interesting, you know, and folks, you know, you play in the big leagues, no matter what your batting average is, man, you're a hell of a hitter just to get there. That's not easy. And I know you stole bases too. But, you know, when you hit, you brought up an interesting point earlier because we bring it up on the show a lot with guests, and that is failure. Failure is going to happen in the game. Okay. Yeah. Now, you've been through it because whether it be hitting or defense, you know, everybody's going to fail, but also you've been released and re-signed, you know, those are all mental blocks that can happen to players. What's your advice when that failure occurs? How did you handle it? What advice can you give to kind of, you know, of course you're going to get down at first, but how do you rebound from it?
You know, that's a part of, I think that's one part of player development. Like you mentioned earlier, the player development that I've experienced from my days as a youth in USA Baseball, you know, those experiences really helped me and groomed me into becoming a player that was more equipped to handle adversity and the adversity that the game of baseball presented at the minor and major league level. I also think that's another advantage that many of these college guys are going to get from this league is this might be some of them's first time experiencing, a significant amount of adversity. A significant amount of failure. And I tell the guys every day, you know, each day is a new day. Each at bat is a new at bat. And, you know, you never get, too high emotionally, and you try not to, you know, get too low emotionally. So, and that way you kind of have a better amount of balance as a player, and your approach to the game of baseball becomes well balanced with that, by applying that type of information to your game. But I think adversity is something that you'll find in not just baseball, but different areas of their lives. And as they mature as individuals, they'll become better and better, more and more equipped to be able to respond effectively, you know.
You know, Xavier, you know, and that's what's great about the game of baseball. We play every day almost. Not like football, you got to wait a whole week, you know, to all of a sudden you had a bad game, and now you got a whole week before, you know, you got to play again. Baseball, you got the next day. You can go and have a great day the next day. It could even be the last at bat, right? You could be 0-4 and then get the game winning hit. But when you advice to coaches and players on how to do this a little bit, when you made an out and you didn't like the way you swung the bat, or you didn't like something about the out that you made, at the big leagues, obviously you got video, you've got other things you can use to kind of, you know, look at and kind of figure out for the next at bat, even what pitches they threw you and all that. What's your advice there when young players, you know, make an out? A lot of times you see a player making out and he hit a line drive and they're mad, you know, or they swung at a high pitch and they thought they did something wrong. Sure, maybe it was a high pitch, but they're always thinking mechanics, right? Or did I do something mechanically wrong? What's your advice when a player makes an out, is my question, how to handle that? Just forget it and be ready for the next at bat? Or is there another way to prepare yourself for the next at bat?
Well, in that situation, you know, these guys, I experienced that type of situation early in my career, and it took me a while to become the type of player that would respond to that in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And right away, when I was in A-ball, you know, I'll give you an example. I might roll over, hit a ball to the second baseman, and get thrown out at first. I come back in the dugout and I'm hanging my head. But the type of instruction that I had was great, because I was taught that, hey, if you roll over, you get out at the plate, do you want to become a complete – you want me to tell you how to become a complete baseball player? And, you know, my answer to his question was yes. And he told me, go make a play on defense. You know, just because you didn't do your job in the batter's box doesn't mean you don't have a job left to do on defense. Yeah. The game of baseball is not just about offense. It's also about defense. It's about picking up your teammates, you know, exemplifying good character, you know, and all that, combining all that will make you, you know, understanding how to be positive in all those different areas will help to help you in becoming a complete baseball player, and a player that the manager wants to show up every day to help his team win.
You know, those are great points, you know, because that's what's great about the game. Again, another thing I think young players need to understand, there's so many ways you can contribute to the game.
Exactly.
You know, now you played under some great coaches and managers throughout your career, whether when it was younger, high school, you know, all the way to the big leagues. What's some of the things that in coaching that you learned from a lot of the managers and coaches that really stuck with you that you're using now, even though you're going to use your own personality, but you're using now as a coach?
One of the things that stuck with me from a coaching viewpoint with my former coaches from Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball, you know, there's a number of different things, but one of them, maybe the most important, is what I just mentioned, is showing up, being a team player, you know, being a team player, playing the game in a respectful manner, you know, approaching the game with a sense of integrity for the game of baseball. And all of the managers that I played for, that's what they preached. You know, show up tomorrow, show up to play every day. Understand your role, what your role is to this team. You know, how do we expect you to help us every day? You know, and accepting that role. A lot of guys have a hard time. You come from high school, you're the best player on the team. You know, you're expected, you're the home run hitter. But now you're on a team at the professional level where the manager might slide you into the leadoff spot. And now he wants you, hey, I don't want you hitting the ball in the air too much. I want you to be a guy that takes your walk, will hit behind runners, steal a base here and there. And you have to learn how to make that transition. And the players that will accept that and do it, those guys, they climb the ladder at much better rates.
You know, that's a great point, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, there are a lot of players who are great players in their own towns. Then all of a sudden they go play outside of that town. Now they're not the greatest player. You know, everybody's pretty good. Obviously, that's really telling at the big league level, because now you got the best of the best. And a lot of times young players aren't used to that failure part because they've been so successful. They've been the person, you know, that's been really good all the time. And I think you bring up a good point, because the game's becoming globally, and now all of a sudden you got players coming from all over the world too. So there's even less spots for players, and they got to work even harder. I think you gave some great advice, because give that advice to young players that are working right now. And I'm talking about 16 and under, 15, 14, 13. Some of the things that you talk about, things they need to really start working on now, because it's hard to develop later. So what other advice would you give young players to start working on now, and don't wait till you can't do it and then try to work on it then? Start now. Even coaches, what's some things they should really be working on so that way they become better later on?
I would tell them to really focus on the situational fundamentals of the game of baseball. As an outfielder, knowing the amount of outs, knowing where the runners are on base, you know, where am I going with the baseball if it's hit to me? I have a runner at second base, no outs. I'm a good bunter. This situation right here is a perfect time for me to lay a bunt down. Go ahead and use that tool. You know, use that tool right there. Now you have a runner at third base, less than two outs. You know, that's approaching different situations in the game of baseball effectively. Knowing and the way that, like you mentioned earlier, the technical side of baseball, where they're starting to study they're starting to study pitchers, study hitters, developing spreadsheets. Where does this guy like to hit the baseball? So as an outfielder, you know that before he steps in the batter's box, I'm already shifting myself into a better position to take that gap away from him or take the line away from him, force him, take his strengths away from him. Study the hitter, study the pitcher, study the game of baseball. Any way that you can get an advantage that's going to enhance your level of play while making your team better at the same time. You know, really focus on that, because there's a lot of knowledge and wisdom that the game of baseball has to offer. And if you start learning now at 13, 14, 15 years old, you may be as knowledgeable of the game at 16 years old as I was as a 23-year-old big leaguer or 24-year-old big leaguer. So studying the game, focusing on the fundamentals, learning how to be effective during different situational plays are taking place. And I think that'll take them a long way, and it'll maximize their ability.
No, I like that. I like the situational part, and I'll tell you why, because a lot of players, you know, it's a game where at the younger levels, a lot of coaches try to micromanage everything. You know, they tell kids when to steal. They tell kids what to do basically all the time. And they're not really playing the game on their own, and you don't see those instincts being developed. How did you develop those baseball instincts? Because I love what you said. Kids probably should watch baseball more on TV, you know, and that way they can learn situations, right? Or anticipate things. But how did you develop those instincts when you were a player? When you were younger, did you guys play on your own? Did you learn things on your own? How did that come out?
Well, a lot of my baseball instincts were developed through something that you just mentioned, watching the game of baseball. I was a huge fan of the Chicago Cubs and the Atlanta Braves. I used to really, when I watched those guys and I watched those teams, I would also listen to the commentators. I would listen to the commentators and how they broke down. They would break down the different situations that were taking place at the time. You know, runner at first base, runners at first and second, one out, less than two outs or two outs. You know, I would just – all of that information I was taking in. I wasn't just watching what the players were doing. I was also listening to the different commentators break down the game of baseball. Similar to, I would say, like Joe Morgan and the way he would explain the different situations that were going on during the game when he commentated. But I think instincts also you'll develop with more games. You know, the more you play, the more things start to become natural to you. So I think that's the importance of what we have in youth baseball, of youth travel ball. A lot of these traveling and playing year round is a lot more popular now across the country than it was when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
I had to go when I was 12 years old or 10, 11, 12 years old. I would have to travel to California with my dad or with Coach Mike Spears to get baseball year round. But now it's pretty much available everywhere. So I think if the parents get their kids more involved, the ones who are serious about, you know, possibly playing, hopefully playing college at the college level one day, or, you know, I think right now at 10, 11, 12 years old, there's a perfect opportunity with travel baseball leagues across the country. And that'll really, really help enhance the instincts, baseball instincts of younger players.
You know, I want to give a shout out to a great friend of ours. You know, you just mentioned him, Mike Spears, you know, passed away. Well, what a great coach. You know, really, we had him with the Pan Am program. He was way, way ahead of his time in a lot of ways. You know, and matter of fact, you know, base stealing and base running was a big teaching tool of his and his teams. You're now in that position possibly with the 18-year-old or the collegiate players that you're teaching on base running and base stealing. Let's take you inside. You're talking to the collegiate players at practice. Let's take us inside. You're going to talk a little bit about base stealing. You stole some bases in pro ball in the big leagues.
Yeah, I stole a few.
Give some advice. What are you giving these kids? What kind of advice are you giving them on how to pick up a pitcher or how to get a jump or a read or whatever it may be?
Here I keep it really, really simple with my base runners. As soon as they get on base, I go off of the pitcher's time to the plate. You know, we like to say anything under a 1-4, anything under a 1-4 from the pitcher to home plate is pretty quick. You know, you have to be a plus runner, or, you know, have a huge lead, which most pitchers aren't going to let you get too far off the base. It really all depends on how quick that pitcher is to the plate, what type of arm you have behind the plate from the catcher. You know, a pitcher that's quick to the plate, but the catcher has no arm, this might be a good situation to try to steal second base. A pitcher that's quick to the plate, catcher has a great arm, you don't want to take too many chances on that partnership. But, you know, a lot of the base stealing depends on what type of runner we have on base. Some of these guys, we give them the green light. No matter how quick you are to the plate, let's try to make them throw you out at second base. Make them be perfect. You know, it's very difficult for the pitcher and catcher to be perfect all the time, every time. And if you're a base runner that can consistently get good jumps, that's consistently being a smart base runner, getting good jumps on your base stealing, you probably end up being pretty successful if you have, you know, decent speed. But especially focus on first things first, let's get that pitcher's time from home to the plate. If it's anything higher than a 1-4, I would say that's a pretty good, you know, you have a pretty good chance of, hey, it's got to be a perfect throw to get me out of second base.
Awesome. Love it. Hey, listen, I want to jump.
That's just an example, you know.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's good. And you could add anything you like when it comes to base stealing if you want. I was going to jump to, wanted to get an idea of when you first, because we got about 10 more minutes left. When you first went from the minor leagues to the big leagues, your first call up, what was that like? What was the first game like for you?
Well, my first major league call up, that was like my first time I was met with some real adversity, because I ended up missing the majority of my rookie season with an injury. But I can tell you about my first major league hit, which was about, I came off of the San Francisco Giants and off of Applebelt, a big tall lefty. Mm-hmm. And I got a base hit up the middle, and I was just ecstatic, man. I was just super excited. It happened. I was in Dodger Stadium. You know, I got called up. I spent 6 years in the minor leagues. So I was just extremely excited when the team called me at the AAA level and they said, "Hey, X, you're coming up tomorrow." And it was just the fans at Dodger Stadium were just amazing. You know, they gave me, well, that organization, I spent the next 3 years with them. But that first major league call up was just a sense of enjoyment and a sense of fulfillment from all the hard work and dedication that I had put in over the years. It was just a very, very rewarding experience.
Absolutely, man. What a great thing to make it to the big leagues. Like I said, anybody goes makes it to the big leagues. Got a lot of tools and a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work. Now, from the fan standpoint, everything's relative to the age, because here we are, we're 11 years old and we got parents screaming and yelling during the game. And there's an 11-year-old pitching, you know, and he's trying to throw a strike and he doesn't want to hit the batter, but yet, you know, the strike zone's small. There's a lot of things happening, right? There's people yelling. That happens at the big league level too, because there's 40,000 fans and you may be on the road and possibly playing in Yankee Stadium. What's yes. your advice to kids and coaches? How to deal with that? How to, it's hard to get it out of your mind. What did you do to kind of quiet everything and focus on what you needed to do? Was there anything you worked on?
Well, that's a part of focusing on the situational happenings that are going on during the game. You know, if I know that I have to be locked in each and every play, you know, I have to know what's going on. My teammate might come over and ask me, "Hey, what should I do right now?" Or what pitch, as the hitter, you might have to, you're in the dugout and your teammate, another hitter in the lineup, comes over and he asks you, "Hey, what's this guy have today? What's he have today? What's he have in his repertoire? You know, is his curveball on? Is his changeup up in the zone? Is his fastball moving?" You know, staying locked in for that purpose right there, knowing that you may have to help someone else. You may have to pick up your teammate. You know, just really focusing on situations, knowing the different, if pitchers or the catcher, if someone's developing habits that'll help us gain an advantage, you know, really just staying focused. Every pitch. It's pitch to pitch. And from pitch to pitch, is it bat to at bat? And on defense, it's the same way. It's defense is from pitch to pitch. You know, and you have to understand that. If it's not, hey, I can focus in on one pitch, and then the next three, you know, next two or three pitches, I'm in the stands. You can't let that happen because, like you said earlier, it's each and every single pitch. As a player, you have to be locked in, understanding and having a good idea of, hey, what's the next move that's going to be made on the baseball field. And you have to be able to assist with that in one way or another.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, man. If you're focusing on that, hopefully that sound gets a little bit less. You don't hear your parents yelling or somebody else right. yelling.
And I think zone that out.
Yeah, and I think that's important because for our coaches, knowing, you know, how to teach kids, especially young kids, because there's a lot of pressure when, you know, there's, even if it's only 20 people at the game, those 20 sound like 20,000. Exactly. You know, and sometimes, unfortunately, some parents, you know, happen to say the wrong things, and folks, you know what that's like, you know, when you're saying, come, you know, I've heard comments like, "Come on, he can't hit." Well, you may not mean to be saying that, but that player that's hitting is hearing that. And that's a negative thought. That's not good for somebody to be yelling that in the stands. What did it look like for you when that ball looked like a beach ball, right? Coming in as a hitter. And then at times it looked like a smaller than a normal baseball. What was the reason for that? Was that different parks, or was it just different pitchers or different type of pitches?
Different pitchers. Some pitchers you're going to see better than others. But when a hitter, the very first thing that the very first thing for me as a hitting instructor, that's a part of like player development, you know, that's one area or one aspect of the game where, you know, I have a great deal of experience from over the years. And the very first thing that I would tell a young hitter, if he comes to me and he says, yesterday I was seeing the ball like just tremendously well. Yesterday the ball looked like a beach ball. Today the ball looks like a golf ball.
Right.
The very first thing I would tell him was, let's check and see if your head's moving too much. Are your eyes bouncing today? Because if you were seeing the ball great yesterday, your eyes probably weren't bouncing. If you're not seeing the ball great today, your head's probably moving too much. And something that's causing that, and most of the time we start with hitters, we start from the ground up. So it's pretty much something with your lower half that you're doing that's causing your head to move a little bit too much, which ultimately is causing your eyes to taking your eyes off the baseball a little bit. If it's not that, then the pitcher's hiding the ball real well, or, you know, it's just, it might be the backdrop on the baseball field. You know, if the hitter's eye isn't good, and what I mean by the hitter's eye, some of these younger guys, they probably, in youth baseball, they don't have hitter's eyes yet, but the hitter's eye is in the in center field. Is normally, you know, right behind the pitcher's mound, and it helps hitters see the ball better.
You know, as we get to closing, I'm going to stick to this hitting because I got to tell you love hitting and you love to teach hitting. You can just tell by the way you're talking. Advice, what did you look at prior to the pitcher delivering the pitch? Obviously, at a certain point, you're picking up the ball. But what do you teach young people to understand? What should I be looking at? Because there's so many different philosophies on this.
It starts with me in the on deck circle. The very first thing I wanted to do is get my rhythm and timing. I would get my rhythm and timing in the on deck circle to make sure that my hands were back, my front foot was down on time. And from there, I would pick up the pitcher's release point. So, and I did all this. I would do all this in the on-deck circle. I'm making sure my foot's down, making sure my hands are back, making sure I find the pitcher's release point. So, because every pitch as a hitter is important. So I want to be able to step in the batter's box, pitch number one, and already have a confident feeling. You know, have that feeling of confidence that, hey, I have my rhythm and timing. Now I know where his release point is. Now what is it? It's see the ball, hit the ball. And that was my approach. And it started – that was my approach from in minor league baseball. That was my approach in major league baseball. And, you know, I was pretty successful with it. But it starts in the on-deck circle.
Man, I'm glad you brought that up because you see a lot of young kids not paying attention even on the on deck circle. I think coaches need to make sure they develop a very good habit there. The other area for a lot of young kids, and it's happening a little bit at the big league level because, you know, they're pitching up high and high velocity. But also a young kid, you know, a pitcher comes in, he's the hardest thrower, and kids can't hit him. Mm-hmm. What's your advice, Stu? If I see that the first time and I can't catch up to his fastball – you talk about timing and rhythm. What can I do now to prepare for the next at bat, do something different so I could catch up to that?
For in that situation right there, and that's making an adjustment from at bat to at bat. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you have some major league hitters that struggle making adjustments from at bat to at bat. And the best hitters in the game can make adjustments from pitch to pitch. But the best advice that I could give a young kid in that situation, I didn't catch up to his fastball last at bat. If I'm looking for that same pitch next at bat and I'm late with contact, I would set my sights, my contact point a little bit further out. I would set my contact out. I would try to get my barrel out a little bit sooner and hopefully get the barrel to the baseball on time. But you also have situations where you have to kind of tip your cap to the pitcher if you're overmatched. Now, and I would say you're overmatched if you're doing everything right with your fundamentals at the plate. You're doing everything right. You're swinging at your pitch. You're swinging at a fastball, and that fastball is in your strength. You're part of the hitter zone, and you're still a little bit late. You have to go ahead and say, well, I'm a little bit overmatched. Maybe I have to get a little bit stronger, a little bit quicker, and he won't get me next time.
And that's where the player development comes in, the offseason, the training.
Right. Strengthening. A lot of it for hitters is just getting them stronger, getting their legs stronger, working their fast twitch muscles, to their reaction times, increasing the speed of their reaction time. So, and if you can do that, if the strength and conditioning programs can do that, then now you have a hitter that he couldn't catch up to that fastball previously, but now he's a little bit quicker. He's a little bit stronger. He can handle the bat a little bit better. And now he can be a little bit more consistent at getting to a plus fastball. So a lot of it is sometimes if you're doing everything right at the plate, the fundamentals are sound and you're still not getting to it, we may need to get a little bit stronger, a little bit quicker.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the legs because you hear a lot, you know, as you get older, when your legs get weaker, your timing seems to be harder. You know, your power seems to reduce. I mean, the legs are an important part of not just strength hitting for power, but also timing wise.
Exactly. And that was a part of it is, like we say, when you start the swing, I'm a huge fan. I really, really focus hitting when I work with hitters. I really, really focus on the proper use of your lower half and staying, developing that connection of the lower half to your hands, the lower half and the upper body, keeping your hands connected to that back hip, you know. All of that has to be in sync, has to work together. So like you said, when your legs are tired, your hands might drag through the zone a little bit. But when your legs are feeling good and you're really using your legs, you're staying connected with your hands to your lower half, now the bat speed is going to be there. So that's an important aspect of the strength and conditioning side of area of baseball.
You know, the other part of this, you know, all hitters have their own style in some ways, but at the same time, if you were to say, you know, if you were talking to young kids, who would you pick at the major league level for young kids to look at? Because fundamentally that person's doing some pretty good things. And obviously the results are good also. What player you like?
I would. Okay, my favorite hitter in the game right now, and I haven't looked at stats in a long time, so I couldn't tell you like how he's doing this year. But my favorite hitter for the past couple seasons would have to be Freddie Freeman from the Atlanta Braves. And I might have a little bit of favoritism to the left-handed hitter because I was left-handed.
Right.
But I mean, just watching him hit, he's short and quick to the baseball. His lower half is very, very balanced. Doesn't have a really, really high leg kick that's gonna may struggle a little bit with his rhythm and timing of, like we say, getting the front foot down on time. He's just a very polished hitter. He uses the entire field from line to line. He's a gap-to-gap hitter, can hit for average, hit for power. And he would probably be the guy that I want stepping up to the plate in the clutch situation in a game of baseball.
Man, I'll tell you what, well, for kids that look at, you picked a great, great player, no doubt about it. We got a similar guy. You love Chicago. We got a similar guy in Rizzo here. They're very similar in a lot of ways. And I love those type of hitters, that don't strike out a lot, hit the ball all over the place, have some power also, so they can do many different things and, not one dimensional. I think, and then this is something I want to ask you about the game. Let's finish it off with this, Xavier. This is a great conversation. Especially, again, I'm going to focus at the younger levels because that's where it all starts. From a development standpoint, all over the whole game in itself, what are some of the things you'd like to see at the young levels be done a little bit more, worked on a little bit more? And it doesn't have to be hitting, it could be anything, the game itself, to help players progress better when they get older. And I'll give you an example. Throw one example at you. Sometimes young players and pitching, they tend to want to throw 4 or 5 pitches and then they can't even throw one for a strike. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to hurt them in the long run. So if you were like the president of a league, what, from a development standpoint, what would you focus on to help players?
For pitchers are really, really focused on, especially young pitchers, I would really focus on fastball command, learning to command your fastball to both sides of the plate, learning to command your fastball to both sides of the plate. Because developing that confidence, your fastball is going to be your best pitch 99% of the time. My fastball is my best pitch. The other pitches that I have in my repertoire are just to keep the hitter off balance. But if I really want to throw a strike, I should be able to grab my 4-seam or 2-seamer and put it anywhere I want to put it. And a pitcher that can do that, he's going to have a tremendous amount of success keeping hitters off balance and staying away from hitter strengths effectively. As far as a hitter, vice versa, learning to use the whole field, learning how to hit the ball the other way and react to the inner half of the plate. I don't think they spend, younger hitters spend enough time learning to hit line drives to opposite field. Line drives to opposite field. When I came up through the Los Angeles Dodgers organization, even in minor league baseball, that was the very first thing that they focused on my path to becoming a complete hitter. I could pull the ball. I could pull the ball at anybody. But veteran pitchers, polished veteran pitchers, they would just sit there and command the outer half of the plate. And they made me show them. They're like, hey, you got to show us that you can hit the ball to the left center field gap before I throw you a pitch that you can, before I test you with a pitch that you can hit out the ballpark.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just good polished line drive hitters and pitchers that can command their fastball. That's what I would focus on.
Fantastic. What a great way to end the show. And let me tell you, I'm so thrilled that you're in coaching. I think, being your first year, I got a feeling you're going to be in it for a long time doing some great things. Xavier, can't thank you enough, man. It's been awesome. And catching up too prior to this was fantastic.
Yeah, definitely, Pete. I appreciate you having me on your show, man, and anytime. invite me back.
And don't forget, give my best to your mom. She's awesome. God bless her. Folks, that is Xavier Paul. And I plan on staying in touch with Xavier, seeing how his coaching's going. I learned stuff here just by listening to him. And I want to thank Xavier for being on the show. Thank you to Brian Crocker, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. Thank you for also everybody in the U.S. and around the world for listening to the show. Can't thank you enough. Don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com for the audio. Subscribe. Go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Go to also Facebook, Peter Caliendo. When you subscribe to these, you're going to get free updates on the new shows. So do us a favor. That really helps us get the show out, and you guys are fantastic. We wouldn't have a show in 100 countries right now if it wasn't for our audience. I want to thank you all. Everybody, listen, stay safe, healthy. God bless you. We'll see you on the baseball field, but we'll also see you on the next show. See you, everybody.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.